This is episode number 128 of the Homestead Journey podcast. Welcome, 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 everyone. My name is Brian Wells. I am coming to you from 3B Farm and Homestead here in beautiful upstate New York. Folks, before I jump into this week's episode, I did want to start out by offering the sincerest and humblest of apologies to Brian from the Lots Project. Yesterday, which would have been May 7th, I had agreed to appear on a live stream with him on his YouTube channel. Initially, when I had accepted that, I was planning on being home and it was just going to be a matter of running in the house, jumping online, and enjoying a great conversation with him. However, earlier in the week, I was asked to take part in gathering some signatures for the Libertarian Party gubernatorial race at an event down in Albany. And I figured, well, I can still go down to Albany. And then at the appointed time, I'll just slip away to either a coffee shop or a quiet space, and I'll still be able to jump on the live stream with Brian. Except, folks, my forgetter is really, really good. And I was supposed to jump on that live with him at 10 a.m. At noon, we broke from gathering signatures. And it was at that point I realized I had totally forgotten to jump on that live stream with Brian. And folks, when I discovered that, I felt about this high. And if you're listening to this on the podcast, it's about a quarter of an inch is what I am demonstrating. I could have walked underneath a closed door. That's how low I felt. And so, Brian, first and foremost, my sincerest apologies. And I have expressed this to him directly, but I wanted to express this to him publicly. And folks, if you could do me a huge favor in trying to right this wrong, and I've offered to jump on another live stream with him if in the future he's willing to roll the dice on me again. But if you could do me a solid and just head on over to his YouTube channel, just look for the Lots Project on YouTube. Lots stands for Living Outside the System. If you could head on over there and just watch some of his videos, give him some watch time, subscribe to his channel. Help me make this up to him because I feel horrid. I feel wretched. This is not anything that I would ever do intentionally. And so this is the hugest of mea culpas on my part, but I certainly want to make sure that I do what I can to try to right the wrong. He had some other people that were willing to jump on with him last minute. He said they had a great conversation. I haven't had an opportunity to watch it, but at least if you could head on over, subscribe to his YouTube channel, give him some watch time, I would really greatly appreciate it. And Brian, again, my sincerest apologies. I feel horrible. I feel horrible. You have no idea how horrible I feel. But it is what it is. And so I did want to throw that out there. I had been advertising it all week that I was going to be on his channel. I was looking forward to the conversation and then I muffed it up. And so anyhow, enough of that. Let's talk about what we've been doing here on 3B Farm and Homestead this week. Folks, this week absolutely flew by here on the homestead. And I think every homesteader kind of feels the pressure of spring, and it just feels like the days just fly by so fast. And it feels like you just fall farther and farther and farther behind. That's certainly how I feel right now. This week, bam, it was just gone. And I certainly didn't get as much done as I wished I could have gotten done, but I am also very happy with what I was able to accomplish considering all of the other stuff that we had going on our homestead and in our lives this week. The first thing that I was able to really take a good swing at was getting my garden plan done. Now, unfortunately, I don't have it all the way done, but I was able to get a lot of the raised bed layout completed and was able to get out today and plant a few more squares, not as much as I'd wanted to, but but I was able to get some onion sets put in and some onion starts put in. So very happy about that. And it was also good to see that my lettuce is coming up, my peas are coming up. You know, some of the things that I've already planted are starting to pop up. And so that's very, very gratifying. I'm hoping this week to really get a lot of things planted and really get a good jump on the garden. This week, I also got my motorcycle back on the road. I took my first ride in over 4 years. So that was very exciting. I'm still not having a lot of luck on finding a farm truck. I had, two or three great options this week. And by the time I was able to get in contact with the person and follow up on it, the truck sold. And that just seems like the story of my life. I don't know if I'm not jumping on things fast enough, or there certainly has been an element of when people find out that I'm contacting them from upstate New York and these are Southern vehicles, they stop responding to my text. And I get that. I think people just think that I'm a scammer. So if you have any tips or tricks on how to deal with people like that, like long distance, or if you have any connections, please let me know, because I am really, really desperate to try to find a farm truck. But I am very happy that with things warming up, the motorcycle will certainly be an option for me and will give my son an option to be able to go back and forth to work as well. This week, we did have a few challenges here on the homestead. First of all, Bonnie came down sick. And so I have spent most of the week sleeping on the couch. I probably should just blow up the air mattress, but I opted to sleep on the couch. Certainly not the most comfortable of ways to spend an evening. And so that just really contributes to not getting as much done as I would like, because I just feel tired. I just feel so tired right now. And I'm certainly not complaining, but it just is what it is. And then beyond that, also a lot of the cooking and so on and so forth have fallen on my shoulders. And I'm not complaining at all about that, folks. It's just the reality of it. And when those kinds of things happen, that gets in the way of being able to advance things on the homestead. It's just what happens. That's life, right? Homesteading is not always unicorns and rainbows. It's not. And so that's certainly been a part of it. On Friday, I was working from home and I heard a loud buzzer all of a sudden kick in. And so I went to investigate it. And one of our upright freezers, it appears, has died. And it was the alarm that was letting us know that it wasn't as cold as it should be. So thank God for that alarm, or we would have lost all of the food in that freezer, which included a lot of corn. It included a lot of bacon and ham and the smoked cuts from the pig that we'd had processed last fall. It also included half of a turkey. There's a lot of stuff in there that we could have lost if that freezer didn't have that alarm. So I was very, very thankful for that. I was able to go through and salvage a lot of stuff, but I also discovered a lot of food that had just kind of gotten lost in the recesses of the freezer. That's one of the things that we've really struggled with. And if you have a great system for freezer management, I would love to hear what that is. You can email me, brian@thehomesteadjourney.net. If you've got a successful methodology of, especially chest freezers, I hate chest freezers. We have one. It just seems like stuff just finds its way to the bottom of the chest freezer and gets forgotten about. Or even in an upright freezer, it gets shoved to the back and it gets forgotten about. And I hate that. I hate that. I hate that. I hate that. I had to dispose of some stuff. There were some vegetables and whatnot that I was able to toss to the pigs, and we turned that into bacon. So I don't feel as bad about that. But any kind of meat that I had to throw away, it just pains me to have to do that. But there was some of it that it was just so old and it had started the freezer burn. And so I just disposed of it. But if you have any great methodology of maintaining or managing freezer inventory, let me know. I'm all ears, looking for a good system. I knew we needed to take inventory. This kind of forced me to do a little bit of that, but I really didn't take a great inventory. It was more of shuffling stuff around and trying to consolidate three freezers into two, which I was able to successfully do, but we've got to get better at that. And that's one of the things I think I've shared with you on this podcast. That's one of my goals this year, is for us to really be more efficient in the use of the food that we grow and to do a better job of growing the food that we eat, and then also preserving it in a way that makes it easier for us to use. And so this really was a reminder of that growing edge for me. And I am all ears. If you've got any suggestions in that area, please, please, please help me out. Friday evening, I got our egg box back out by the side of the road. So that's very exciting. Last year, we didn't put it out by the side of the road at all, because we had another avenue through which we were able to sell our eggs. That avenue hasn't really panned out as well this year. And so we've put the egg box back out, and hopefully we'll be able to get back to moving eggs that way. But that certainly was something that I had on my to-do list, and I'm glad to have it checked off. Now we can start selling some of those eggs that had started to accumulate and back up on us. As I mentioned yesterday, which was the 7th of May, I spent all day down in Albany petitioning. My plan was to come home yesterday evening and do some work around the homestead, but I walked so much yesterday. And I'm a desk jockey, so walking 15,000 plus steps in a day it's a stretch for me. And I came home last night, my hips were killing me so bad. I sat on the couch and I fell asleep. I just absolutely fell asleep. And so I did not get anywhere near what I had planned to get done yesterday done. In fact, I got nothing done on the homestead other than feed the animals in the morning and the evening. But it is what it is. That's the breaks, right? It's just unfortunate that this time of the year when that's happening, but not complaining. It is what it is. It was a conscious decision on my part. I felt like it was important. It was the right thing for me to do. And so I was out trying to put feet to my prayers, not just be a keyboard warrior complaining about the status of things online, but instead getting out and trying to make a difference. And whether or not this effort will be successful, I don't know, but at least I'll be able to sleep well at night and I'll be able to look myself in the mirror and say, hey, I gave it my best shot. But that meant that the homestead took a bit of a backseat in that regard this week. And a lot of the things that I normally would accomplish on a Saturday in May, well, they got skipped or pushed to today, if we want to look at it like that. Today, I actually was able to get out, do some work in the garden. I got some onion sets planted. I got some onion starts planted. So very excited about that. Didn't get as much planted as I wanted, but tomorrow evening, I'll have the whole evening because the function I normally go to on Mondays, I'm skipping. And so hopefully I'll be able to get a lot of stuff planted tomorrow and throughout the rest of this week, really get a good jump on getting our garden underway. But I did notice out there that my lettuce is starting to pop up, my peas are starting to pop up. And so that is so exciting to start seeing your hard work paying off. And I just can't wait to have that first salad and those first peas. Ah, just looking forward to it. It's going to taste so good. The last thing I wanted to share with you is that those stinky meat birds are still stinking. But when I set up their brooder, I had a stroke of brilliance. Now, I can't really claim credit for this. It's actually something that Jack Polner over at the Mindful Homestead did. And I was like, wow, that's brilliant. So Jack, don't get a big head, but he put down a tarp underneath his brooder because it makes it easier to clean it out. Well, I thought, you know what? When they started stinking, and I have really tried to keep putting the shavings to them, but there just comes a point in time to where it just is what it is. And it doesn't seem to matter how much shavings you put in there. You can't cut down on the stench. And so I moved all of those chicks out into a dog carrier that we have. And then I was able to move the sides out of the way, grab that tarp, pull the shavings right out of the garage, right up to the compost pile, dump them, come back down, spread that tarp back out, and start fresh. And boy, does it smell so good. I can't wait to get those little stinkers out of that garage. And folks, I hope this ends up being the kick in the seat of the pants that I need to get that other mobile coop done so that we have another mobile brooder specifically for the meat birds. Cause man, I don't want to do this anymore. I just don't want to do this. They get dust everywhere and they stink. Did I say they stink? Because they stink. When I put everything back together, though, I did go ahead and take their heat lamp away. I don't think they need that any longer. I'm trying to really prepare them for life outdoors. And tomorrow, I think we're going to start the 12 on, 12 off. I think we're going to start that tomorrow with them, the 12 on, 12 off for feed. And hopefully either next week, if not next week, certainly the week after that, we will have them outdoors. And hopefully this will be the last time that I ever do this in my garage again. Because did I say that they stink? Because folks, they are wretched, wretched little things. But boy, do they taste so good. All right, that's it for this week's Homestead Happenings. Before we head on over to this week's Charting the Course, let's go ahead and remind you again about the Supporting Listeners Program. Here's Bonnie with some great information.
If you enjoy this podcast and are interested in supporting it, you can do so by becoming a member of the Supporting Listeners Program. For as little as $3 a month, you can not only support this show, but gain access to a private members-only community on Discord. There are also two additional tiers, one at $5 a month and one at $10 a month, each with additional benefits and perks. So head on over to thehomesteadjourney.net/support for more information and to get signed up today.
Thanks so much for that, Bonnie. Let's head on over to this week's Charting the Course. On today's Charting the Course, we're going to talk a little bit about reframing your mind. But before I get to that, I do want to say a few words about the fine line that I try to walk as a content creator. You see, I want to encourage you to keep taking the next right step on your journey. And sometimes that means that I might need to give you a virtual kick in the seat of the pants. Sometimes I'm giving myself the same kick in the seat of the pants, right? Just that little nudge, that little push to take that next right step. But I also want to be careful because I never, ever, ever want you to feel guilt-tripped or badgered into taking a step on your homesteading journey that you are not ready to take. And that's why I spend so much time talking about the next right step. You see, the next right step for you might not be adding anything new to your homestead. The next right step for you simply might be continuous improvement on what you're already doing, getting better at what you're already doing. Or the next right step for you might be quitting something that maybe you've gotten into and you don't enjoy it like you thought you would, or you found you don't have the time or the money to do it. And so you need to quit that right now. That might be your next right step. As we talk today about reframing your mind, I do want you to keep in the back of your mind the last two episodes of this podcast. Two episodes ago, I talked about how go big or go home is a really bad approach to homesteading, in my opinion. And last week, I talked about the importance of doing what you can, understanding your boundaries, understanding your limits, being honest about where you are as far as stage of life and financial obligations and space and so on and so forth. As we talk about reframing your mind, I want you to keep all of that in the back of your mind. And if you haven't listened to those episodes, I really would highly encourage you to pause this one, go listen to those two episodes, and then come back and finish this one out. Because I actually waited to talk about reframing your mind so that I could cover those other two ideas first. Because again, I want to make sure that I am not guilt tripping you or badgering you in any way. I want you to be very, very realistic. I want you to be very honest with yourself as we talk about reframing your mind. Now, there's a fine line here between making excuses and not getting stuff done and also having legitimate reasons for not being able to do certain things. So we're walking that razor's edge together today. And if I fall off on one side or the other, my apologies in advance. But certainly, I want to encourage you to keep making those baby steps, but I also want you to be successful in your pursuit of self-sufficiency, self-reliance, and sustainability. This whole episode actually came as a result of a quote that a friend of mine shared on Facebook a couple of weeks ago. That quote goes like this: instead of "I hate cleaning," think "I deserve to live in a clean space." Instead of "ugh, I have to go to the gym," think "I deserve to live a healthy lifestyle." You can accomplish so much just by reframing your mindset. And folks, as I thought about that as it pertains to homesteading, I thought that is so powerful. Now, from a permaculture perspective, sometimes they talk about turning problems into solutions, right? That sometimes the simple things are the best ways to solve a problem. And to a certain extent, that's kind of where we're going with this today. It's that we need to perhaps look at things from a little bit of a different perspective. That's why we're using the term reframing our mind. We're just looking at things a little bit differently. As I thought about that quote, as it pertains to homesteading, I got to thinking about the three biggest barriers that people have to taking the next right step on their journey towards self-sufficiency, self-reliance, and sustainability. And really, those three big barriers are time, space, and money. And really, isn't that just about everything in life? Everything in life boils down to, I wish I had the time. I wish I had the money. I wish I had the capacity, the space, however you want to say that. But maybe instead of saying, I can't afford this, we need to ask ourselves, how can I afford this? Are there different financial decisions that I can make that will free up capital in order for me able to do what it is that I'm trying to do on my homestead? These might be really poor examples, but I'm just going to throw these out there. Let's say that you're wanting to homestead. You're somebody that works a 9-to-5 job and you buy your lunch every day. Maybe instead you start packing a lunch, right? And you are now starting to free up. I know it's not a lot of money, but that adds up over time. And that might help you be able to expand your gardens, or it might help you be able to buy a pig or whatever it is. Maybe instead of buying coffee every morning, you brew coffee at home and you take it with you to work. Maybe instead of going out and buying a brand new vehicle every year, you buy a used vehicle or you run a vehicle a little bit longer than you've been used to doing it. And I know those are probably horrible examples, but it's simply a matter of stopping and thinking about the financial decisions that we are making and being honest with ourselves and saying, are there decisions that I can make differently that will free up capital so that I can afford to do this? Along with that is time. So many times I have had people say to me, I wish I had the time to do what you do, or I don't understand how you have the time to do what you do. Well, that's because I prioritize my homesteading activities over other things. And I'm not patting myself on the back. It's just the facts. I don't go out and golf. We don't go on a lot of weekend trips. There's a lot of things that we don't do that frees me up in order to be able to do homesteading type stuff. Now, I am involved in a lot of other activities, and yesterday was a good example of that, where I prioritize something over the homestead. The homestead doesn't always come first for me. It certainly does not. And there are some times when I've probably prioritized the homestead over things that I shouldn't have prioritized the homestead over. I don't always get it right. But we need to stop looking at it from the standpoint of, I wish I had more time. And we need to ask ourselves, how can I make the time? No, you may be at a stage of life where you may not be able to make the time. That goes back to what we talked about last week. Do what you can. So I'm not trying to browbeat anybody here, folks. Sometimes we can't make the time. We can't take on anything extra because we're working 60 hours at our job. We're commuting 1 hour one way to our job. Now, maybe it's a matter of, can I find a job closer to home that's going to free up more time? Maybe I take a little bit of a cut in pay, but it gives me more time to do stuff about my homestead. I can't make those decisions for you. But we need to be very honest with ourselves to say, how can I make the time? And if I can't make the time to do whatever it is, then I need to stop beating myself up about it. And I just need to be content with what I'm doing right now, understanding that as I can make different decisions with regards to my usage of time, then I may be able to free myself up to do some of the things that I would like to do. But certainly, we need to get away from the, I wish I had the time, and reframe our minds to say, how can I make the time? And make an honest assessment as far as whether or not there are changes that we can currently make in order to be able to do whatever it is that we wish we could do. And quite frankly, folks, most of us, probably if we put our smartphones down and stop scrolling Facebook, Pinterest, TikTok, YouTube, whatever, we would find a lot more time in our schedule. I know I would. But it does end up being making an honest assessment of, how can I make the time? And then as far as space, we can say, I don't have the space. Or instead of that, maybe what we should be asking ourselves is, what can I do with the space that I have? So maybe we long for a milk cow, but we don't have space for a milk cow, but we can get goats and we can have dairy with goats. Maybe we don't have the space to have chickens, but we could raise rabbits. I don't know what it is for you, but it's not a matter of, I don't have the space, so I just shrug it off. But reframe our minds to look at it and say, what can I do with the space that I have that is going to help me take the next step, the next right step on my journey towards self-sufficiency, self-reliance, and sustainability? So hopefully you found this helpful. Again, it's just a matter of looking at things from a little bit of a different perspective, reframing our minds, but being honest with ourselves and understanding that we only have so much time, we only have so much money, we only have so much space, and all we can do is the best we can with what we've got. That's all I ask of you, and that's all I can ask of myself. And until next time, everybody, keep up the good work.